this little bit seems to be in here to record the process by which God helped Joshua think clearly about the upcoming battle. And the upcoming battle was not about God being on Joshua's side. It was about Joshua being on God's side.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Ben, it's been a great week. It's been a busy week, but it's been a great week.
I blew up my shoulder the other day. You want to guess what I did?
Yeah. I have to guess what you did. You threw a football.
A football? No. I threw a paper airplane into the wind. I can't hardly lift my shoulder.
The last time I remember a shoulder problem is when we were in Central Asia at that guitar company, and I reached up to the ceiling to push a button. And my shoulder went out and I laid on the floor and you said, "Are you having a heart attack?"
I totally forgot about that. Oh, you just screamed and you went down immediately to the ground. I was seriously fearful. I was like, is he old enough? Oh, it could be. Could be serious stuff. This could be serious. And I was thinking, how on earth am I going to speak the language I need to speak that's not English in medical terms to get someone here? All that went through my head.
All in that short minute. Yeah. That's the day that you also asked me, how old are you?
I ask that all the time.
Oh, man. Are you 60? Are you 70? What are you?
Oh, gosh. So last week, you mentioned studying and looking at Joshua. Why did you choose this passage in Joshua?
One of my routines is I walk and listen to the Bible, sort of a particular podcast or particular audio series. It's the McChain series. And so basically it has four passages a day. And I was listening, walking, thinking. And then I came to this section where Joshua encounters a person. And he walks up to that person and he says, "Hey, are you with us or are you with our enemies?" Hmm. And then that person responds to Joshua and basically tells him what's what. So I'll just read the little section. It says, "Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' He said, 'No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, 'What has my Lord to say to his servant?' The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, 'Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." So that little section there where Joshua goes up to God, I guess it's God, and says, "Are you on our side or on our enemy's side?"
It's someone worthy of worship. So I would assume it would be the Lord in some form.
Yeah, I guess if it was an angel, if it was an angel, he would have said, "Don't be afraid," or he would have said, get up off the ground. He wouldn't have said worship. He wouldn't have said take off your feet. He wouldn't have said go one step further, right?
Yeah. Isn't that what Moses, did that happen to Moses? I have this vague memory of Moses having to take his shoes off, or was there holy ground involved? I could be totally wrong.
Dang. It totally sounds right to me, but it feels like someone a good and proper.
Someone will fact check us.
It feels like a good and proper missionary leader should have a clear answer to that question.
I don't have it either. It's just, I just have this memory.
Yeah, he did, because Moses goes up to the burning bush and then God says, take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground at the burning bush. But somehow or another, embarrassingly, I hadn't connected those until you said it. It really feels like I should have been more quick in my mind after having read this 40 times this week.
So we have Joshua. I mean, we know Joshua's told to be strong and courageous, and he's now leading, and he sees something, I guess I would say it's unusual. I mean, unusual enough to approach it. I mean, do you think he was fearful of this guy? I mean, naturally? I mean, the guy's got his sword drawn.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems to me, you know, the context of this thing is the Israelites had the firstborn of all the Egyptians killed. They go through the Red Sea. They wander around for 40 years. Then Joshua gets appointed. Then they come across the Jordan on dry ground. And then after they get across the Jordan, they cut off, they circumcise their folks. And then they celebrate the Passover. If anyone had reason to think God is on my side, it would be Joshua.
Yeah, totally.
He's going in, he's going to do this thing. And it's in that context of knowing that God is on his side that he's going around to ask this guy, are you on my side? Because he knows he's on God's side. And so if this guy is on Joshua's side, then he's on God's side too. That's kind of the way I imagine that thought process happening for Joshua.
Yeah, I mean, he could have responded in some interesting ways. First, he asked this guy, are you on our side or our enemy's side? Clearly indicating that he's got this right side. I mean, what he is doing, he feels like this is the right thing. It probably, I mean, would it be? Obviously, he's been told to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that God's on his side. So I mean, the scriptures seem to indicate that he's right, that God is on his side. So the natural thing to do would be to go around to the other people and say, I'm on God's side. Are you with me or are you against me? I guess it doesn't look like God's upset with him for the question.
No.
But he does correct him.
It seems like a logical question. I mean, God is on their side, right?
So I think it looks to me like he's dividing the world into two types of people. Those that are on his side and those that are not on his side.
Oh, and, yeah, it's a divisive, it's a line in the sand.
And he happens to know that those that are on his side are also on God's side. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so he goes to ask this person, are you for us or for our enemies? And then this person responds to him saying, bad question. The real question is, are you on my side?
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't say, God, I thought you were on our side. Because to say neither or no.
You bring up a good question. There's the question is, what responses could God have given? So Joshua says, are you on our side or on their side? So the range of responses seems to be, I'm on your side, I'm on their side, or bad question.
The sword being drawn throws me off just a little bit. It's like, it's almost like, what if he doesn't answer correctly? Why's this guy got a sword drawn?
I figure that Joshua imagines that he's going to go kill him. That if he's on the enemy's side, that there's...
I mean, it makes sense.
The way I'm seeing it is the sword is drawn. Joshua knows that God is on his side. If this guy's not on God's side, he's going to have to die. But back on God's answer to Joshua's question, when Joshua said, are you on our side or our enemy's side? God could have said, I'm on your side. Now worship.
He didn't.
He chose to say, you've got the wrong question, or I'm neither on your side nor your enemy's side. In my version, it says, no, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. The Randy Luce translation says, bad question.
It's probably right.
of course.
According to the Hebrew we just translated.
Of course, I've never studied Hebrew, so if you're going to trust anyone's translation, it should be mine. But the no, it does... this does seem to be put in here to help us recognize what God did for Joshua before Jericho, because Jericho is the very next thing, right? So you go from this history of God showing that he's with Joshua, that he's with the Israelites, that they are right in their what they're about to do. And then you go into the very next thing, which is the conquest of Jericho. And so this little bit seems to be in here to record the process by which God helped Joshua think clearly about the upcoming battle. And the upcoming battle was not about God being on Joshua's side. It was about Joshua being on God's side. It seems natural to me, actually, that as a leader, when you're heading in a certain direction, if it's the right direction, then the idea might be to pray that God would come in line with what you have planned, and you think this is what God has planned, and so you're praying for God to come in line with your plans.
Yeah, it's like a constant struggle.
And I remember when I went from being atheist to Christian, I stood up in the back of the church and I said, I get the sense you guys believe in God. Now, I don't think there is a God, but I've been reading the book, and the book seems to say when God's people pray, he does stuff. I think I actually said it. I don't have a recording of it, but I think I actually said, if there was a God, I can't imagine why he would want your advice about what he should do. And to me at that time, that was kind of my idea of prayer, was people advising God about what he should do. And so it would be bringing God onto our side as opposed to us coming onto God's side.
Yeah, that's interesting. What does that look like in a practical sense? So for you, as you're standing, and it sounded like it revolved around prayer for you at the beginning, like how to communicate with God. I mean, what did it look like as a lifestyle?
Probably my thoughts on it have migrated in a circular fashion over time. I think when I look at the life of Jesus, one of the examples I come to is the Garden of Gethsemane, where he comes to this point where he has a preference in his heart. I think he says something along the lines of, not my will, but thine. So there's a sense that he comes to this point in time where he has a certain kind of will, whatever that is, which is to have this delivered from him. And then he recognizes that the Father has a kind of a will. And as far as he can tell, I don't know exactly what to make of it. Don't want to go too much into it, but yeah, there's a sense in which Jesus states, not my will, but thine. So there's a clear sense in Jesus's mind that I'm not going to ask God to be on my side. I'm not going to ask the Father to be on my side, but I'm going to be on his side. So in that particular case, I don't want you to conform to my will. I want to conform to your will, is kind of the way I read that statement by Jesus. So that would be maybe an example where, as I live my life, you know, I'll give one example with SIM right now. I have it in my mind that it would be good for SIM to grow, to find more people that want to go and proclaim the goodness of Jesus.
It seems good.
For me, it seems like a good plan. It's what I want to do. I'm leading everything in that direction as if God was going to bless it. But I actually don't know the answer. I could imagine myself getting to the point where I believe my own idea of what's good so much that then I imagine that's what God wants, or I create a scenario where it's kind of like a false prophecy where I say, well, God has God has proclaimed that we're going to grow. And then I start telling people that in hopes of getting them to come. But the truth is, it's what I want. It's what seems good. It's what seems right to me, but I don't have any kind of promise for it. And so,
yeah, one would lead to pride. The other one would lead to worship. How do we know if we are on God's side or if we are asking God to be on our side in a good endeavor?
It's pretty hard, actually. I think the short answer is God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. and the ability to know what God is going to do and what he has planned can really only come from him. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So there are times in my own history where I feel as if God has given me a promise or told me what he was going to do and asked me to just believe. And I have sometimes been faithful to just believe. And so I do think that there is there are times when it's like God has spoken and this is the way it's going to be. And so I'm going to move forward trusting that this is what he's going to do. And then there's other times where I just don't know, where it would be presumptuous for me to declare this is what God's going to do. And so I have to just walk one foot in front of the other with obedience without knowing what the outcome is going to be. And so that's, you know, as the example I gave of thinking that SIM is going to grow, it seems right. We've prayed about it. We've looked at it. We're acting as if it's true. We're recruiting as if it's true. We think that SIM increasingly being able to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to people that live and die without hearing, we think it would be good and healthy to grow. And so we're leading as if it's true, but we're not counting it a prophecy. I'm just using that's a real world example. I've been doing this job for 4 months now, but that's sort of a real world example where we are today. So I think that it would be possible for me to go to somebody and say, God's growing SIM. Are you on God's side or not?
Mm.
That person might wind up being an angel or God. And, I think it would be a bad question. Hmm. I think a better question is this really what God has? And I think it is. So we just move forward in faith with our eyes open.
Mm. So we go forward in full worship. You said eyes open, expecting God to lead the way. How could we make this question that's kind of, I mean, it's not a divisive question in a sense, but it does call us to choose our side or God's side. How would this be relevant here in America?
So I think there's three sides. There's our sides, our enemy's side, and God's side.
That's a good point.
And sometimes God might be on our side, and sometimes God might be on our enemy's side. And the best question, if God is on our side, if this is what God has for us, then we should go conquer Jericho.
Hmm.
But if we don't really know, we probably should be more humble than that. I guess actually, even if we do know, we should probably be more humble than that. That in this case, Joshua said, are you on our side or our enemy's side? And God said, neither. It's not about you. And so in America, it seems like most issues come down to, are you on Fox side or CNN side? Are you on Trump's side? Are you on Biden's side? Are you with Black Lives Matter? Are you with All Lives Matter? Are you with gun safety or are you with gun control? Are you with freedom of choice or are you with abortion? That every issue seems to be an opportunity to separate the world into my side and my enemy's side. That seems like where things are in our country. And if I'm honest, on each one of these things, I actually have an opinion. And on each one of these things, when I hear somebody state their opinion really, really strongly, like more strongly than me, even if they agree with me, then I feel really good judging them because they shouldn't be so bipolar, that we shouldn't be polarized. Mm. So whichever side you're on, it feels good for me to judge you for being extreme.
I've sensed that as well. On the sign, I saw a sign coming in. It was on a church as I was driving in, and it said, all prayer matters. That's a new...
There we go. It's a way
new hot take.
Yeah. We found a way to enter into this and make sure that we're on God's side. We can poke people in the eye and feel good about ourselves. So I think in practice, what I want to do, this actually happened to me this morning on my walk. I got a note from somebody about, it was an article that somebody had written that was relating to kicking out the international students. And they had explained, that explained all the future of what was going to happen as a result of this. And as I read it, I thought, rather than making a judgment on this, I'm just going to say that these people's prophecy sounds totally reasonable. It'd be interesting to see what God does. That it's that in the end, we don't have to argue with people that have different ideas than us. We can just say, wow, where's God in this? What's God thinking about it? I want to be on his side. So I think it could be healthy for us to try to get our own tendency to separate the world into those that are right and those that are wrong and those that agree with me and those that don't, into just listening to people, loving people, and bringing God into the question rather than bringing my point of view into the question. Just say, where do you think God is in this? If they're an atheist, just ask them, where do you think God is in this?
Yeah, what you were saying there reminded me of the verse in, is it Romans? Where it's like, if our God is for us, who can be against us? I think it's Romans 8. Could people be taking that in the wrong way? Because you're talking about this, people who maybe falsely prophesy, which is really, you know, their will. Maybe they're projecting what they want.
You've just, to be honest, you've just temporarily, at least, totally debunked my whole way of thinking about this passage to this point. Because,
whoops.
Because you're right that the Apostle Paul says, if God is for us, who can stand against us? So,
that's Joshua, who can stand against us? Yeah.
Joshua here, rightly recognizes that God's on his side. And he doesn't know that this is God. And so he walks up to him with the perspective, I know that God is for us. I know that God is in this. And so you, whoever you are, you're with us or you're against us, because God is with us. God is for us. And then that person that he walks up to says, I am God. And then Joshua's like, oh, on his face. and that's a good response, but it's, but now, unfortunately, my whole thought process is impacted by the fact that, that there is a, if God is for us, who can stand against us? That I get, actually, it says if though.
Yeah,
so in
that's
this
a big
case,
if.
It's a big if. So in this case, I've mentioned, I actually don't know if God has told somebody else that he's going to grow SIM as an organization.
Yeah.
That's great. And maybe they're right that God said that. But I actually don't know if God is quote unquote for me in that endeavor. I do know that God's calling me. I'm convinced that God's calling me to lead that way. But I'm not convinced that God has promised an outcome. So if God has promised the outcome, if God is for us in that endeavor, nobody will be able to stand against us. He'll bring the people together where it's going to be clear. So
yeah,
there is
that's
a,
awesome.
If God is for us, no one can stand against us. And so that is, that's a big if. In this case, Joshua knows for sure that God is with him, that God is with the endeavor for the Israelites to go in. And so when he walks up to God, maybe it's not a bad question to say, are you with us or against us? Because I don't think it is a bad question. This is an uncomfortable podcast now.
I didn't mean to tear apart what you had previously thought.
Yeah. We don't have to share it, but we probably will.
Oh, yeah.
It's a journey.
This podcast, remember, is not about what we know. It's also about what we don't know.
Yeah. It's almost, I get the impression sometimes that God's in the process of making all things new.
I think he is.
And one of the things that he's making new is me.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.